You're listening to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our goal is to make Christ visible in everything that we do. This week, Dr. Abhinav Shah will be talking about the victory that's possible through the cross of Jesus Christ. If we lose sight of the cross, it's nothing but self-will and human effort. There is no victory without sacrifice. There is no crown without the cross. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Thank you, John. Thank you for everything that you guys did and all the ways that you are helping and serving. By the way, you're welcome to, I was going to say start your engines, but we're not going anywhere. If you want to turn on your cars, it's not going to affect us. So you don't have to sit in the heat. You can roll up the windows and whatever. Make yourself comfortable with the kids. But as we were planning and praying about this weekend's messages and asking, you know, should we just go very simple? Just talk about encouragement or, you know, just don't fear or don't doubt and those kind of things. And the more we talked amongst ourselves, the team at Clearview, the more we felt like at a time like this, there are many people who are doing an excellent job in communicating hope and encouragement to others. In fact, Nicole yesterday did a wonderful Instagram Live, and a lot of people liked it. Many of y'all liked, and she reshared it. So I know that's going on, and that's wonderful. So this morning, I don't want to get off our series. We began a series last weekend called Hosanna, a four-week series leading us into the Passion Week. And so I believe it's important for us to stay where we are because there is a powerful message, a deep message from the Word of God for us. Now, words can have multiple meanings. Take, for example, the word bark. Bark can be the outer covering of a tree, but it can also mean the sound that a dog makes. They don't have the same meaning, but they're connected. For example, the word express. Where does the word express come from? We know the express train and all that, but the word express comes from the printing press, where you would put ink on the die and the typesetting, and then you would express that image on a paper, and then that was the newspaper. The newspaper became the Daily Express. And then later on, the train that carried those newspapers became the express train. So it's amazing how words have different meanings, and sometimes they are derived from each other. Now, why am I sharing that? Because there is a word, Hosanna. We began the series last weekend. That word Hosanna also has more than one meaning. And those meanings are connected. They have come from each other. Last weekend, we learned that one of the meanings of that word Hosanna is God save us. It was a prayer. Hosea Anna. Anna means please, now. Hosea means save us now. Hosanna is God, please save us now. But another meaning that developed from that word is the word victory. Hosanna also means victory. In today's message, in fact, that's the title of our message today, the second message in the series. Here's the gist of the message. I usually give the gist so you can kind of follow along where we're going in this message. Here's the summary. Here's the gist. There's no victory without sacrifice. There is no victory without sacrifice. First, there is the cross, and then there is the crown. But according to the Word of God, first there is the cross, and then there is the crown. Also, it is the crucified life that comes first, and then the victorious life. If you want victory in your life, you cannot say, I don't want any suffering, Jesus. I don't want any trouble. Just give me the victory in Jesus. No, God's going to say, it comes by the way of the cross. This morning, in our second message in this series called Hosanna, we're going to understand what this victory looks like. Turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, to Psalm 118. Or if you're following the blog, my blog is on that bulletin that was given to you, abhinavshah.com. All the verses are there. You can just go there if you like. We're going to look at Psalm 118, starting in verse 21. If you have your Bibles ready, let's begin to look at it. Psalm 118, starting in verse 21. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation, my Hosanna. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. We're going to see what that means in a few moments. Verse 23, this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now come the two verses that they cheered when they saw Jesus riding on a donkey coming into Jerusalem. Here we go, verse 25. Save now. Hosanna, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Before we look at it carefully and pray, are you calling on God to save you through some trial? Maybe through what all of us are going through at this time? Do you understand that you may have to endure before there is victory? Do you understand that the cross comes first? We may have to suffer for a while. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior? If you don't, right where you are, it's time to go to the cross. It's a simple prayer that says, Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe that you died on the cross. You died for my sins. You were buried and you rose again. I believe that you are the Son of God. And I need you to save me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And be my King. And Father, we pray today for those who have sincerely prayed and they have come to the cross of Jesus in their hearts. God, save them right now. But we also pray for the rest of us, God, teach us what it means to live the crucified life. Teach us what it means that before we can have victory, we have to find the cross, to pick up our cross and follow Christ. Oh God, we pray today, work in our hearts in a special way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, let everyone say. Now next weekend is Palm Sunday. I don't know about you, but all my days and weeks are just gone out the window. I don't know exactly what's happening. I was going to preach Palm Sunday's message today, and then someone said, that's not until next week, and Easter is not next week. It's 2 weeks away, and everything was a mess. But today, I just want us to focus on the cheers of the crowd. When they saw Jesus coming, riding on a donkey, coming down the Mount of Olives, headed towards the eastern gate of the temple, they began to shout. And we know that shout. They shouted, Hosanna. Listen to Matthew 21:9. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were waving palm branches as they did that. Now, the question is, where in the world did the crowd come up with this cheer? Was there a cheerleading team standing there saying, okay, guys, when we see that Messiah from Galilee coming, everybody on the count of three, Hosanna. The Bible doesn't tell us that happened. The question is, why in the world did they pick this psalm? To start with, you may not realize, but Psalm 118 is the most quoted psalm from the Old Testament in the New Testament. Now, we don't know why this psalm was written. There is no superscription to this Psalm 118. But we do have some information about how it was used through the centuries. Basically, there are two major reasons why this psalm was used through the centuries. According to the Talmud, Talmud is a collection of Jewish writings. According to the Talmud, Psalm 118 was the psalm that was sung at the Feast of the Tabernacles. We will talk about that in a few moments. First reason why this psalm was so popular and so often quoted in the New Testament is because it was a psalm that was sung at the Feast of the Tabernacles, but secondly, it also became a messianic psalm. We will also see that in a few moments. But let's go back to the first reason. This psalm was sung at the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, what is the Feast of the Tabernacles? Keep in mind that the Jewish people had many feasts. If you grew up in a good Bible-believing church or have been acquainted with messianic congregations, you've heard of all the feasts that they kept. But three feasts in particular are known as the pilgrimage feasts, which means this: you cannot celebrate them just at your home. You had to go to Jerusalem for them. What were those feasts? The first one is the Feast of the Passover, or the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The second feast is the Feast of Pentecost. But the third feast that we don't talk much about, but it was also very important, a pilgrimage feast, is the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of the Booths. You say, what is booth? Booth is just like when you go to a convention or some kind of a display. There's a booth set up. It probably had a covering. It had something like that. This was a Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of the Booths. 7 days between September and October, this feast was celebrated. God had commanded his people. In Leviticus chapter 23, God had told them that at this time of the year, between September and October, for 7 days, they had to go to Jerusalem and live in these makeshift booths made out of, listen to this, leaves and branches. They had to leave the security of their homes and their cities and go to Jerusalem and live in these booths with their families. Can you imagine that? Now, why did God do that? Why did he tell them to do something so strange? Listen carefully. This was to remind them of their time, or the time of their ancestors in the wilderness. Remember, for 40 years, the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness and they lived in these booths. Sometimes we think they all lived in tents. That's not true. They were living in these makeshift booths made out of leaves and branches. They were completely vulnerable to the elements. How in the world did those people survive? They survived not because of their strength. They survived because of the Lord. Living in those booths for those 7 days was to help them, even though they may not have been the ones wandering, but it was a time for them to remember how grateful they should be for where God had brought them. You know, as I read that and as I talk about it, in some ways, God is making us live in booths right now. I mean, just in the past month, our safeties, our comforts have just been stripped away. I mean, you could just do anything you want to, go anywhere you want to. All of a sudden, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. This is not available, that's not available. Could it be that God is making us as individuals, as families, as a nation to live in these temporary sheds to remind us how much we should be grateful? But could it be that God has brought us to such a time of discomfort and loss of security? Could it be that God is saying, now do you realize all that you have can be taken away just like that? It's because of him. And I pray that before you leave this place, that you would give God glory. Give him thanks for how much he has blessed us. Amen. How much he's been good to us. Now, let's go back to Psalm 118. Where does it fit in all of this? You see, this was the psalm that they would sing at the Feast of the Tabernacles. This was the psalm they would sing on that final day when they would go into the temple. So let's read it. You have your Bibles open to Psalm 118, verse 1, or just listen to it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Picture the people standing from generation to generation. On the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacle, waiting to go in the temple, they're standing over there saying, oh, give thanks. Now keep in mind, I get it too. I understand. Not everybody truly got it. Some were there just to have a good time. Hey, we get to see Jerusalem. We're going to eat some good food when we're out there. Man, it's a vacation. So I don't think everybody was thinking, oh, how good the Lord is. Just like even today. Not everybody gets it. So listen to verse 2. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron, means let all the priests, say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. So as they're standing out here, people are goofing off. The psalm is to remind them, hey, focus. God has been good to you. Verse 4, let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. See, it goes from a plural to a singular. I called the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. This is not a collective thanksgiving only. Individually, we need to be thanking God. God, you've been good to me. Keep reading. The Lord is on my side. Verse 6. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Who needed to hear that today? I did. Now, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my Hosanna, my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. They're standing outside the gates of the temple. This is going on. And they're thanking God first collectively and then individually. Verse 17. Listen carefully to this one. I shall not die. Does anybody need to claim that verse today? In a time like this, when we're so afraid and constantly bombarded by the news media or social media, you're going to die, you're going to die, we're going to die, we're all going to die. Hey, listen, here's my challenge to you. Claim that promise for your life, for your family, for your children. Claim that promise. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely. It means we're going through a tough time. But he has not given me over to death. Wow. Is there any reason that Psalm 118 was the most quoted psalm from the Old Testament? Aren't you glad we didn't change the message? This is what we need to hear. Now, looking towards the eastern gate of the temple, they would say in verse 19, are y'all ready for this? Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. You see, they are the gates of righteousness. That was a term for the eastern gates, not just any gate of the temple. That was specifically meant for the eastern gate. By the way, which gate did Jesus come through? When he was riding the donkey coming down Mount of Olives, he headed to the eastern gate and then into the temple. By the way, that was a fulfillment of a prophecy Ezekiel had given in Ezekiel 44 and 46, that the coming prince would have a special access into the temple through the eastern gate. Amazing, isn't it? Prophecy after prophecy was being fulfilled. But it's not over. Listen to verse 20. As they're walking through the gates on this last day of the Feast of the Tabernacle, they said, this is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you. For you have answered me and have become my Hosanna, my salvation. Then they see the temple. Okay? So, standing outside, praising God, walking through the gates, here's the temple. Listen to verse 22. The stone. Kind of an odd verse, but it's a verse that is very important in understanding who Jesus was and is. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, what are they talking about? There's so much packed in there. Verse 23 says, this was the Lord's doing. Means we don't understand what we're saying, but this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you ask me, did they understand what they were saying? Probably not. Jesus came, but his own did not receive him. But he became the chief cornerstone on which all of us are built. You see, they're saying these words as they're walking in. Now comes the verse that the crowd used in cheering Jesus as he entered Jerusalem from the eastern gate. Here comes that verse, verse 25. We just read it earlier in the opening, but here we go again. Save now. Hosanna, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Did you get that? Did you catch that? They were outside the house of the Lord. Now they're inside and they're blessing someone. Now they don't know. They're actually blessing the coming Messiah. Blessing them, blessing him from inside the house or from the house of the Lord. And what else did they do? This is very important. And they would wave the palm branches. Why were they waving? Remember, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem riding the donkey, they were also doing the same thing. Why did they do that? Well, on the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, the seventh day, the priest would blow the trumpets, and the Levites and the people would wave the palm branches. Isn't that strange? Like, why would you do that? Why not wave something else? Because waving palm branches was a sign that the harvest had come. It was time for the harvest. Are y'all getting all this? So they're shouting Hosanna to the king, to the highest, waving palm branches, a sign that harvest was now here. Now, let me stop there for a moment. Y'all have patiently listened to all this. Let's pause for a minute. Let's take a 30-second timeout. What in the world are they doing? Why did the crowd do what they did? What time was it? It was a time for the Feast of the Passover. Remember when Jesus came in that whole week, he did some miracle, he did some work in the temple. And then on Thursday, he kept the Passover. This was a Passover feast. And nonetheless, this crowd says, it's time for the tabernacle feast. What were they doing? You see, by the time of Jesus, shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches was symbolic that the Messiah had come. They didn't understand that Jesus did not come to overthrow the Romans. They didn't understand that Jesus did not come just to remove the corrupt priests from the temple. He came from something more. How do we know they didn't understand? Well, keep reading Matthew 21 and verse 10. When he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" Now listen to this. So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Somebody say, oh no. So he did not say, yeah, they're worthless, who cares? They don't know what they're doing. He just said, oh, let them sing. Because tabernacles is still coming. The feast of the harvest is still coming. But unfortunately, please listen, the crowd didn't get it. You know what the crowd should have done? They should have kept reading Psalm 118. Because the very next verse, which is verse 27, listen to what it says. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Remember, Jesus is the light of the world. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Now listen, or read your bulletin or my notes on the blog. Listen to this. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. The crowd only said, save now, victory, the Son of David is here. They should have kept reading the next line, the next verse that said, it is time to take that sacrificial lamb and tie him to the altar, to the horns of the altar, which means this, please listen, don't miss this. Jesus did not come just to reign as a king. First, he came to die as our Savior, and they didn't get it. Remember how I began this message? There is no crown without the cross. There is no victory without sacrifice. If we lose sight of the cross, there's nothing left. There is no salvation. How does this apply to us? You know, as we're going through these tough days, are we looking at only our comforts? Are we looking at only ourself, my comfort, my security? Or are we saying, God, let your cross shine? Do you have your eyes upon the cross? You want victory. You want to get out of this. You want the tabernacles. But the Passover lamb has to come first. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians 2:14. He said, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The only way we're going to have triumph is when we go through the cross. The cross not only forgives us of our sins, but it takes all our tears, all our shame, all our struggles, and puts them in the right perspective. Listen, don't miss this. When we see what he went through, who are we to complain about what we're going through? In fact, Jesus said it very clearly. He said, whoever desires to come after me, Mark 8:34, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 35, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. There has been no better time for Christians than right now in the midst of these difficult days to pick up our cross and to follow Christ. A friend of mine, a mentor of mine, asked me a question recently. He said, and he prefaced that with this. He said, you know, all this mess is going to end. It may end in a couple of weeks. It may end in a month. It's all going to end. But what will people say about you when it's over? Will they say there's a person who walked the crucified life to him? And by the way, are you giving the cross of Jesus to those around you? What better time it is to tell people the gospel? What better time it is to say, hey, listen, I know the times are tough, but God's going to get you through this. And the way he's going to get you through is through Jesus Christ. What better time to share the gospel? Invite people to church. As you leave this place, post about this. This is not, folks, please don't miss it. It's not about to say, oh, look how we're doing this, and look how much we're working hard. That pales. That doesn't draw people to salvation. Only the cross. Jesus said, when I be lifted up, I will draw people. It's not about how hard Pastor Shaw works, and I appreciate the compliments, or how hard this team works. They appreciate the compliment. Please tell them that. Please tell us that. We like to hear encouraging words. But ultimately, it's about the cross. And very simple. If you have been to the cross of Jesus right now, right where you are, tell him that you're ready to pick up your cross and follow after him.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message. It's only by keeping the cross of Christ in focus that we can hope to find victory in this current crisis and in every situation in our lives. In everything that we do, we should be motivated by the hope of Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes and other additional resources, check out Dr. Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.